upholding scientific research and discovery in respect, as we should, we must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
We've signed a climate convention on the importance of economic instruments and free markets. We're included in this mammoth Agenda 21 document and the Rio Declaration. Well, let me be clear on one fundamental point. The United States fully intends to be the world's preeminent leader in protecting the global environment.
Coming up, Technocracy News. And good morning. This is Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. Today is March 26, 2019. We'll start off today with a story from China. China is often in the news at Technocracy News and Trends because China is a technocracy. Now, you may not think of China as a technocracy. Maybe you think it's a communist dictatorship. Well, academia, global academia, has recognized China as a technocracy, formally and officially, and in many, many articles that have been published over the last several years. China is a socially engineered society that is properly called a technocracy. And we're going to look at one article here about the so-called social scoring system that they have in China, where you're given a score depending on your political attitude towards the government and towards your social standing in terms of paying your debt and not getting a lot of tickets for jaywalking and stuff like that. And this article explains from the people's own view in China that being blacklisted in China is a lifelong sentence that's worse than prison. Because at least in prison, when your time is up, you get out and you can return to society again. But when you have a blacklisting against you because you couldn't pay a debt, for instance, you all of a sudden are put into another caste of people where you can't ride on the same trains that other people ride on. You may have to take the slow train. You can't live in the same apartments, in the same housing. You get shunned by your friends. You get shunned by other banks and financial institutions and associates, and you get shunned by services, goods and services that you might want, like, for instance, renting an apartment or getting some service from another company that you need, even if you have the money to pay. They may say, no, we're not going to serve you because you're a deadbeat. You're on the list, dude. Get lost. This is a very serious situation in China. This is the ultimate result of a scientific dictatorship. I cannot warn the American people any more, probably, than I have. This is a terrible situation because it's coming here. You say, well, how is it coming here? Well, listen, much of the technology that's being used in China today came from America. It was exported to China because it was illegal to test it over in America. And so they gave it to China. China now is perfecting the technology to have complete suppression of their people. And so now that these American firms that have their tentacles into the Chinese society realize they have a great asset now, they can bring it back to America, they're wearing the American rule of law down to where these things are becoming acceptable in America, little by little, inch by inch, degree by degree as the water gets hotter here in America. The very same technology that's being used in China is also being implemented in the United States. And we need to wake up to this before we find ourselves in the same situation that citizens do in China. The next story we have is titled, Massive Coalition Backs President Trump's Climate Science Committee. This is a great story because their strategy behind it a couple of years ago, just after President Trump was elected, he disbanded the Climate Science Committee, which is just full of phony baloney scientists, junk scientists, as they call them, fanatics that have made a religion out of climate science rather than, you know, just looking at the science of it. And the progressive left and the climate fanatics absolutely went nuts when President Trump killed this committee. Well, a couple years later now, it's back. And this is brilliant, because after a two-year hiatus, it gave a little bit of time for everything to settle down. And now it's coming back. One of the principal people on this committee is Dr. Will Happer, a brilliant scientist from Princeton University, no less. He's retired now, but nevertheless, he still is a brilliant guy. I had the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Happer in 2016 at a conference in Tempe, Arizona, called The Inconvenient Lie, where he delivered a brilliant presentation on why CO2 is good, why we need more of it, not less of it. Plants grow better when they have more CO2. So this committee is being reconstituted, and this article is just gives the details on what's going on. People are very upset on the left about this because they can't stand the light. They can't stand the truth. And the committee now is dedicated to giving the truth behind climate science. Is it really real? What parts of it are real? What parts of it are false? And so the whole thing is being reconstituted. Now, this is good news, in fact, because I know these people are going to set the record straight for the sake of the American people. And the American people need to hear this. All they've heard all along is what the climate fanatics have to say. Now they have a chance to hear it from real scientists who care about real science. This really is a good thing. And it may take some time for the new reports and stuff to come out from this committee, but they will come out. And Americans are going to hear it, and it's going to give them another view to think about. So this is very good. The last story we're going to talk about is also a good news story. The title of it is Sweden is expected to force banks to handle cash transactions. Now, here's the irony of this. The technocrats in Europe originally picked Sweden as being the poster child, if you will, for the cashless society. And so the grand push went on to Sweden to strip all cash out of society and have everything done electronically. And it sounded great on paper. Oh, they were all excited. I remember the articles a few years ago. They were all excited about it. The people were excited, and they were going to lead the way in the European Union to becoming a cashless society. Well, guess what? The people started figuring this out. The citizens of the country started figuring this out. They started to think it through. And they said, wait a minute, this doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound good. Now, what happens when the power goes out? What happens if some other emergency comes along and we can't get our electronic credits going? We're completely out of luck. Well, there was other things, too. And other issues came up, like what about people that generally just like to use cash anyway, and they're not really banked? Well, those people just get forced out of society. It's got goodbye. They're no longer part of the economic mix. Well, Sweden is having a major rethink on the whole issue. And now they're expected to turn around and force the banks, which have been leading the charge. They're expected now to force these very same banks to handle cash transactions. In other words, you will do it or we'll shut you down. That's pretty cool. Okay, what if they would do that across the world at this point? Say you will continue to handle cash or else. Now, this will trickle down to the stores that are refusing to take cash. And there are many stores in Sweden, by the way, that have already gone along with the program. And they've put signs up, no cash, card only, or, of course, smartphone, they can pay like with Apple Pay and so on. And The trickle-down will be that these stores will also be forced to go back to handling cash. And admittedly, there are some advantages to not handling cash. You don't have to count it. You don't have to protect it. You don't have to worry about thieves coming in and robbing you. You don't have to worry about taking it to the bank and making it from your front door to the bank. Yeah, there are some advantages, you might say, a little bit more cost effective. But here's the deal. Cash is the law of the land. Using cash is the law of the land. And it really doesn't matter whether or not it's more convenient for Mr. Businessman or Mrs. Businessman to not use cash. It's a requirement of being a business. It's just that simple. It's like in a city in America, if you want to open a business, you have to go and get a business permit. What's the problem with that? Well, you say, wow, the government doesn't have any business doing that. Well, that's possibly true, but you could argue that. But the fact is, in every city in America, you have to have a business permit in order to open your doors. So what do? You want to have a business, and you don't want it to be just a black market business? You go and get a business permit. You play by the rules. And people are realizing, citizens are realizing, this cashless society simply is not going to work for them. And I agree. It's not going to work. And there was a story the other day posted on Technocracy News that said that American cities and counties are rising up against this as well. And they're telling people in their communities, businesses, if you don't accept cash, your permit is in jeopardy. You will accept cash because not accepting cash hurts our community. It denies goods and services to people who don't have access to a bank or don't want access to a bank. They use cash. They get paid in cash. And by the way, you can go to any city I've been to. I see an abundance of companies, little storefront companies, that cash checks. You say, well, how do those companies make business? Well, I'll tell you how they make it. People get a paycheck from their company, their employer. They take it in hand. They go down to a check cashing company, and they cash the check. They convert it into hard cash. They put the cash in their pocket, and that's what they live on for the rest of the month. There are tons of people who do that. Of course, they pay a little fee for cashing the check, but that's the way they've chosen to live. That's the way they want to live. They like to deal with cash. They like the anonymity of cash. And so there's a whole little segment of industry or business that stays in business because people cash the checks. Well, if you have cash in your pocket and you come to a store that has something you really need to buy or want to buy, and you go in and they say, no cash here. Well, that leaves them out in the cold, doesn't it? They don't have a card. They don't have a credit card. They're out. They can't buy it. So cities are recognizing that this harms the citizens of their community. And they're saying, no more, no more. If you come in here and preach cashlessness, you need to go somewhere else. I like that. I think the city councils of America have great power, unrecognized power, that if citizens would get involved with their city council and educate them and get them looking at the right things that really can help the citizens of the city, things could happen. Good things could happen. So we can hope for that. If you're hearing this podcast for the first time and you have not gone over to technocracy.news to take a look, I encourage you to do so. You can get on the mailing list and we'll send you a daily digest of articles. And you can also subscribe to this podcast on a number of different services, including Podbean, iTunes, iHeart, Spotify, and a number of others, and get tuned in. This isn't a very important topic that is affecting America, all America, and we need to be in touch with it. So you be in touch with us, and we'll be in touch with you, and we appreciate you listening today. I'm Patrick Wood for Technocracy News and Trends. Have a great day. Mm-hmm.